opportunity once again, boys and girls, to the book of Genesis and the chapter 22. I mentioned yesterday how that Abraham was a friend of God, and friends do delight in, how shall I put it, appearing to be the same, showing a likeness. And there's no doubt that Abraham's close relationship with God was reflected in his life. I was thinking of a verse in Acts chapter 4, where the apostles are in trouble for preaching, and they're before the leaders of the Jews, who are demanding of them that they stop this preaching. And such was the spirited response of the apostles. They weren't going to stop. They had been commanded by the Lord to preach, and they weren't going to be stopped by men. And their enemies, the leaders of the Jews, looked at them. And it's recorded in the Word of God that they said to themselves, there's no doubt these men have been with Jesus. As they listened to those men, looked at those men, memories of Christ came into their minds. There was that about those men that spoke of Christ. And you and I should be like that. We should so live and speak and act as to cause men and women to see Christ in us. There should be a reflection of him in us. And there's no doubt there is a reflection in Abraham of God because of the close association. Now, we thought yesterday of the judgments for sin that the Lord Jesus Christ faced, as were symbolized and spoken of by the fire and the knife in the hands of Abraham. I want to go a little further now, and I want to have you look at the willingness of Abraham to give his son. I don't think anything of greater value could have been asked from Abraham by God than that he sacrifice his son. That was a tremendous sacrifice required by God. And we've got to notice the willingness of Abraham to obey God. Now, we have seen reflected in the willingness of Isaac to submit to his father. The wonderful submission of the Lord Jesus to his father's will, his readiness to go to the cross and die for his people. But on the other side of the coin, we have the willingness of Abraham to give his son. It's just as marvelous as Isaac's willingness to obey his father. Abraham was ready to give his son, yield up his son. If you look down the chapter to the verse 10 of, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. There's no question but that Abraham was about to go all the way in obedience to God. Took the knife, and he lifted his hand with a knife in it, and was ready to plunge it into Isaac. That's the scene here. Verse 11 tells us, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. I think that speaking his name twice speaks of urgency. You see, Abraham really was about to kill Isaac, and urgency was required to stop him. So it wasn't just Abraham, but it was Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You see, the Lord, speaking to Abraham here, was very conscious of the place in Abraham's heart that Isaac had. He didn't just call him his son, he says, thine only son. This brings to light the great sacrifice that Abraham was prepared to make in obedience to God. The angel of the Lord, that is the Lord, of course. One of the titles of the Lord, the angel, word angel means messenger. And the messenger of the Lord. And the Savior is the messenger of the Lord. He's the one with the Lord's message. The Lord's message to you comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that message is, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, the angel of the Lord says to Abraham, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. That word fearest there. It's not the word that perhaps we might think at first it is. In the Bible, when you read about men fearing God, godly men fearing God, it means that they hold God in reverence. They speak of Him reverently. They have a high view of God. And it's a word that encompasses within its meaning love. The Lord might well have said to Abraham, I know that thou lovest God. So we must understand here that Abraham did what he did, not because he was shaking in his shoes out of a dreadful fear of God. No, he did what he did because he loved God. He reverenced God. He had a high view of God. And even though he couldn't quite understand why it was that God was asking him to do this, nevertheless, because he loved the Lord and trusted the Lord, he would do it. He would do it. Let's understand that the motive of Abraham as he went forth to sacrifice his son was one of love for God. Love for God. Abraham's action pictures for us God's greater love for sinners in that he was willing and ready to offer his son that sinners might be saved. We all know that great verse in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Abraham, in obedience to God, out of a love for God, in giving his only begotten son, pictures for us God's love. Oh, boys and girls, what a thing it would be for us if our actions, our life, showed something of God's love and God's mercy. It comes to my mind now. Do you remember Stephen, when they stoned him to death? He hadn't done anything wrong at all. Stoned him to death just because they hated him, and hated him because he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they were stoning him to death, something I think very remarkable took place. And that which was remarkable were the last words of Stephen as he was dying. Now, being stoned to death, boys and girls, is not a pleasant experience. It's not an instantaneous death. It's a slow death. It's a brutal death. They were hurling big stones at him. And they would hit him all over the body, each one hurting, of course. But it's when they started hitting him on the head and so forth that then things became very serious. Those were wounds that would prove fatal. And as they were stoning Stephen, he was calling on God. He was praying. And he was saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down with the last of his strength. And he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. And that's a gentle way of saying he died. How did he die? He died with the same words on his lips as were on the lips of the Lord Jesus when he was crucified. The Savior on the cross, one of the last things he said was, lay not this sin to their charge. Oh, boys and girls, it's a lovely thing if in our life we can show, we can reflect something of the Lord. Stephen did it, and most certainly Abraham did it. Abraham did it. Abraham tied his son hand and foot, led him on the altar, was about to slay him because he loved the Lord. And at Calvary's cross, the God of heaven gave up his son to die for sinners. That's the measure of God's love. That's how much God loved his elect people. He gave his son. Not only did he lift up the knife, but he brought down the knife. And at the cross, the Lord Jesus died. And he died beneath the punishment of our sins that his Father laid upon. Father laid upon him. Oh, understand this clearly, boys and girls. Understand it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 21, I think this is one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible, but of course, then preachers say that many times when they come to various verses, because the power of the verse is working on their heart at that moment, and at that moment they feel, oh, this has to be the most wonderful verse in the Bible. Well, at the moment, this to me appears to be one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 21, "For he," that's the Father, "hath made him," that's the Son, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin," that is the Lord Jesus, "knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's why Jesus died, that we might be made righteous. But notice it says, he was made to be sin. I want you to grasp this. You see, at the cross, God the Father dealt with the Lord Jesus as our sin. As he would deal with your sin, so he dealt with Christ, because Christ became your sin. Your sins were laid upon him, and the Father saw your sin. And so Christ suffered. Christ suffered because the Father was dealing with your sins. He became sin for us. And this was the love of God at work. He hath made him. The Father hath made the Son to be sin for us. Again, here's another lovely verse. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." That word propitiation means, basically, a sacrifice that puts away wrath. A sacrifice that puts away wrath. A payment that cancels out sin, so that there's no more guilt and there's no more wrath. That's what the word propitiation means. Lord Jesus was sent to be the sacrifice that would put away wrath. Paul wrote to the Romans, "There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Those who are under his blood, who by wonderful grace have been brought into union with the Lord Jesus, there's no more wrath put away by the sacrifice of Christ. Like the family during the Passover night who were in the house that was marked by the blood. No wrath, no judgment would fall on them. They were under the blood. Are you today under the blood? Has the Lord Jesus Christ become your sacrifice whereby wrath has been put away? Have you made him yours? Have you made him yours? Oh, what love God has had toward wicked, rebellious, sinful men and women. He gave us some. One final verse, Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" See, Christian, if you can look to Calvary and you can see there God sparing not his Son, but punishing him in order to save you from sin, you can then reason and say, if he did that for me, spared not his own Son, but freely delivered him up for me, there's nothing God won't give me. There's nothing God won't give me. Or as Paul put it, "Shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" It's a wonderful thing to receive. You are the inheritor of immeasurable riches if you're not saved. How sad that is. If you're not saved, you're under the wrath of God. That's what's coming your way. Not heaven, but the everlasting wrath of God. Flee to Christ for refuge and for salvation. May the Lord bless his work to our hearts. Let's just bow in prayer. O God, our heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy wonderful word and for the revelation that there is in it of thy great love for sinners. Bless the school today. May something of thy love, of thy great love towards sinners, be revealed to their hearts and minds, I pray. Be with the school today, and in all of its activities may they know the blessing of the Lord. Answer prayer for us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.